kingdom. We hear a lot about the word of God, but walking it out is something different. Amen? But each one of us need to walk it out. Can we agree on that? And in order to do that, we're going to have to give up our time to walk it out, correct? Right, because most of the time we fill up our lives with everything that we want or what we've given value to. But I want to encourage you, the kingdom is something worth giving our lives to. Amen? Good Friday service is on 6 to 7 on Good Friday. Just in case you didn't, I'm just saying, just in case you didn't know if it was Good Friday, it was going to be on Good Friday, all right? But that'll be from 6 to 7, so we look forward to celebrating that. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We've got about 10 being baptized. We found 11 now, I think it is, because somebody else wants to get baptized this morning. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Because, you see, the Bible, it's so clear. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. It's an act of obedience. Amen? And it's saying, this is what I've done. I've accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This is what I'm doing now. I don't care what you think. Because I care what he thinks. And man, I'll tell you what he thinks about me is incredible. That's what his word says, amen? And he thinks the same way about each and every one of us in here. Them little babies that are in a nursery, he thinks the same way about them. They've done nothing yet. And yet his love for them is unbelievable. So make sure that you're here for the ushers for Good Friday. Set time aside. We look forward to the baptism. You know, this week, one of the things too, remember we're having, where are we doing Easter or Resurrection Sunday? Down by the river. What time? 11 o'clock, right. So make sure you bring everybody you can. They can bring lawn chairs. They can sit all over the place. They can bring their fishing poles for after. I know some of you is, oh, yeah, I'll be sitting down by the river. Yeah, I can hear you, Pastor. Not a problem. We're fishing for men first. Then we fish for whatever you want. I wouldn't suggest eating too many that you catch out of the Hudson, but enjoy, all right? And we'll know within a couple of weeks whether you was listening, too. So we won't be live streaming. So for those that are on the live stream, we won't be live streaming down at the river, so you'll have to come. Look at that. They're all inviting you. They're all inviting you to come. All right? Maybe we'll do some baptisms down there. Why not? If you guys all get people saved this week, which is what we're supposed to be doing, amen? I'll go in the river and they might pick you up in Catskill, but I'll baptize you. So go get somebody saved and bring him and we'll baptize them, okay? I don't care how cold it is. Good. That's all the announcements. You know, this week, all of those that we set in last week, I don't know what happened, but something changed. Something changed. God's moved and he's moving in the hearts of men and women right now. Because I'm telling you, one gentleman came in. I don't know, is Galen here? Did he come? I'm going to his house this week. A gentleman came in and he owed me money. So he came in to pay. And we got him saved. Me and Kim were in the office, and we just led him to Christ, just told him about how wonderful God is, how incredible he is, and he owed us $75, and then we sold that back into him, because you can't get somebody saved and take $75 from him, you know what I mean? He owed it, but I don't care. We got to sow. So I ran down the alley and found him, and I said, hey, we want to sow this back into you, because I believe that God's got a call on your life. Another gentleman came in, he's 26 years old, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And two of them in one day. I mean, that's a good day, amen? And then I was over in Catskill getting my hair cut, and I walk out, and this guy's walking down the street. I don't know who he is. And I said, hey, how are we doing today? He said, good. I said, how's the good Lord treating you? He said, good. I said, how are you treating him? Good. I said, according to what? He says, I don't know what I think. I said, that's a mess. Are you kidding me? And I said, do you go to church? He said, well, yeah. I said, where do you go? You know, that church up on the hill. Got him. He don't have a clue where he even goes to church. I said, oh, yeah. You mean this church? And I named it. He goes, yeah. I said, oh, so this is your pastor? Yeah, he's a nice guy. I said, there's no doubt. I said, all right, now, what's God called you to do? I don't know. So we had like a 15-minute conversation there. I invited him to church and told him, I said, listen, you know, if you're going to church, get your butt there so that you can get prepared to do what God called you to do. And if you haven't been going to church, come on over and visit us. We'd love to have you. All right, he said, man, I feel better already. And the guy that got saved, he said, I was having a horrible morning, but my day just got better. Can I tell you, every time you spend time with the Lord, your day gets better. It always does. So it's just been a good week. Oh, and then I went over to AutoZone. I had to buy a part. And I go in there, and the guy's name is Vic. I don't know if you go over to AutoZone, but the guy's name, if you go in and see Vic, talk to him, all right? So I said, okay, Vic, so what's going on in your life? And he says, oh, no, I'm doing good, Rev. I said, where are you going to church? Well, I haven't been. I said, well, it's about time you did, isn't it? He said, it is. I said, good. Come down with us on Easter Sunday down by the river. All right, I'll bring my whole family. I said, attaboy, Vic. I know I like coming here and buying auto parts. So he's got children that are coming for Easter down there. And he's been in church before, but he hasn't been in a while. So listen, they're hungry for the truth. They're looking for somebody that's courageous enough. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Right? Because with the Lord, all things are possible. Amen? And when we talk to them about him, they want what he's got. They want what he's got. And this morning, before, as we get into the scripture, I just wanted to encourage you this morning that people want him. They're looking for him. Give them him. When you just talk about him, he prepares the ground and he draws them in. You know, this morning, I just want to spend some time in prayer my nephew, he's down in Mississippi, and they had to do open heart surgery, and they had to actually scrape. He's been diabetic, had new kidneys, and his new kidneys have shut down. He's like in his 40s, and he's got kids, and he's had it since he was young. And now his gallbladder, they went in, they had to do open heart surgery on him, and there was pus in his heart, and they had to scrape that out. I'd never heard of it before, but he needs a miracle. And thank God, our God's a God of miracles. Amen? And then lifting up Bill Ham also. He's home watching us today. So let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we?
Father, we come and we stand on your word. And your word said that by those stripes we receive our healing. You said it was a prayer of faith that you'll heal the sick. Lord, time and space mean nothing to you. And so today, you said, say to them, say to it. And Lord, today we just speak to those bodies, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for hearing our cry this morning. And we thank you for touching their lives all through that wonderful, wonderful, powerful name of the Son of the living God, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. Amen and amen. And we got a special guest with us today. We got Mr. Al Blanks visiting us here today. We're so glad he's here. Welcome, Al. We're glad you're here, brother. Yeah. Al was out there whooping up on some cancer earlier, and now he's back. He's back. You know what? I got to say it again, Miss Brenda. He's probably one of the nicest men anybody will ever meet. Don't you agree, Al? Yeah, he does. He does. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And today, if the title is Be Filled, Be Filled. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into the body, right? So it's the Holy Spirit that baptized us into the body of Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit led you here. Amen? He brought you before the King. You received the King, and you were brought into the body of Jesus Christ. So there's a baptism of the Spirit that he brings us into the body or into the kingdom or into the church, right? So this is this is number one. In Matthew 28:19, which is what we're going to celebrate next weekend, it says, go therefore and make what? Disciples. Right. Of how many? All nations. And then what are you supposed to do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now we'll get into another teaching on that as far as what we baptize. We baptize in the name of Jesus because you won't find it in the scriptures where they baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They all baptize in the name of Jesus, but we'll discuss that another time. So he said, go and make disciples and then baptize them, right? So who's supposed to do the baptizing? The disciples. That must be somebody who wants to get baptized. So the disciples are supposed to be baptizing people, amen? Right, we do it here at the church only because the water's warmer. That's it. It doesn't have to come from me. It doesn't have to come from one of the elders. It can be from a disciple. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Right, see, because we have to get this mindset out of the church where it's got to be some professional. It's got to be somebody that's clergy, someone that is ordained. You can baptize people. That doesn't mean you chuck them into the river without your hand there, all right? It means we baptize anyone who's a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, get them saved and baptize them. That's supposed to be like day one, square one infancy in Christ. Can we agree? Right. So that's our job as part of it. So this is the next baptism, which we baptize them into repentance, right? Turn over to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And I know this is redundant, and we know these things, but I just want to reiterate because I believe that we're coming into another season where you're going to get people baptized, or you're going to get people saved, and then they're going to say, well, can I get baptized? And you're going to say, well, there's a pond right here. Let's do it right now. Isn't that what happened with the Ethiopian? What prevents me from getting baptized? Nothing, as long as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How simple is that? And so in Matthew 3:11, it says, and as for me, I baptize you with water for what? Repentance. Right. That's where I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I repent for all of my actions. And then it goes on, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with what? Right. So in 1 Corinthians 12, it's being baptized of the Spirit, right? The Spirit of God led us in and we got baptized into the body of Christ. And now this is being baptized with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants for each and every one of us. He's the most powerful entity that there is, amen? He's all power, all authority. So we have the baptism into the body, the baptism in water, and the baptism in the Spirit. It looks like the tabernacle, doesn't it? We have the outer courts, the inner courts, and the Holy of Holies. And so it's a type and a shadow all the way through. All the way through the scriptures, God over and over and over reminds us of this. And he reminds us over and over and over and over again that he wants to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes. Can we agree? Right. That's his desire. The one is coming that's going to fill you or baptize you with the Spirit and fire. That's what he wants to do. It's part of the Christian walk. And there's a lot of denominations out there or churches out there that are saying that that ended. Well, if we look at the scriptures and we try to say there was only 12 apostles, you can prove that wrong because there were many more than just the 12 apostles according to the scriptures. And as we walk through this, why would God pour out his Spirit upon all flesh? And he says in the book of Acts that it's for you, for who else? Your children, right? And as many as what? As many as call upon the name of the Lord. That's what he said. He said, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord, they can be filled with the Spirit also. It was his desire for us to be filled. He doesn't want us to be empty. He wants us to be filled. This is what his desire is. In verse 19 there, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks in all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. But a lot of people want to get baptized today. Acts 19, 1 through 6. It says, it happened that while Apollos, anybody remember who Apollos is? He's a pretty smart guy. Some wonder if he didn't write one of the books of the Bible. That's an argument for another time, right, Pete? But men have been arguing that for a long time. I really don't care who wrote it. Whether it's Paul or whether it's Apollos. It doesn't matter to me. I'm reading it. I'm memorizing it. It's going to be part of my life. Whoever wrote it is really a moot point about this time and season. Amen? It's the power of the word that's in there that God wants us to walk in. But some people get tripped over, they trip up over little arguments, and they spend their whole time trying to prove their point. How about we just walk and we prove his word true on the earth, right? We walk out his word rather than getting caught up in those silly little arguments. So, but here we have, and it happened to that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is what Paul asks. I think Paul understood theology. I think he understood these guys were already saved. Right? And what did they say? We haven't even heard about it. The only thing we know is a baptism of repentance. He said, we'll read the scripture to make sure that you know I'm not making things up here. All right? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized you with baptisms of repentance, or the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now, they say there were about six people there, but they weren't in the upper room. They weren't part of the original 12. Here's more people outside of just those that the 120 in the upper room that are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're speaking in tongues, walking in the power and the fire of God. Everything starts to change. And so this is something that God wants for each and every one of us. And now I just wanted to lay that base so we can get into, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, because I know that you guys already have memorized all of those scriptures. You know them. You're living them out. There's not even a question or a thought about what I just shared. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful of how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Well, I think we're living there. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I think we're getting into something here that we need to pay attention to. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be what? Filled with what? The Spirit. He said, be filled with the Spirit. He said, hey, don't go around getting drunk and doing all those other things that you tried to do before when you were hopeless. Because hopelessness makes you do a whole lot of crazy things, doesn't it? We don't even want to talk about what you did in your hopelessness. You shouldn't talk about it. Nobody should ever hear just how dark you went in the things that you tried in order to fill that void that was in our lives. Amen? There's no reason. The Bible says, reckon the old man what? Dead. Dead. Don't even talk about him anymore. Just stop. All of that crazy stuff that we all did before Jesus Christ. He said, don't talk about it anymore. He said, don't go around getting drunk either. That's just silly. That's for those that are what? Perishing. So the Bible says, it's for those that are perishing. He said, it's not for kings and priests. That's who you are, amen? You're a priest, you are a holy nation unto God. And he's saying, look, I don't want you to do what the world is doing. They're just running after that because why? It's a hopeless situation. They don't have the Christ living on the inside of him. But he said to those, he said to us, he said, but be filled with the Spirit. This is what he wanted for each one of us, right? He said, if you believe on your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you say with your mouth, or I'm sorry, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved, right? So he says, this is what you have to do to be saved, right? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. He says, this is what you have to do in order to be brought into the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of God is the one that ushered us in. Why did you go to church the first time? Why are you here today? It wasn't because you said, man, there's nothing else to do. It's spring. Might as well go to church. Some of you young ones went because your parents said, if you're living in my house, get to church. That's some good parenting right there. Right? Some of you said, well, you know what? I think there's something to this. Maybe there's something. Maybe I should check this out a little bit more. Maybe some of you said, I heard they were having communion. It was only grape juice, sorry. I don't know why you came here today, but I know who led you here today. It wasn't your flesh. Because when that alarm went off, your flesh said, no! But your spirit man said, get up! We've got to go get in the presence of God. We want our lives to be changed forever. The Spirit of God is the one that led you here today. In 1 Corinthians, he said, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this isn't something that's open or an option, I should say. He's not leaving an option. He doesn't say, if you want to. He said, if you're going to walk in the fullness of God, be what? Filled with what? The Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to be filled. Why? Because the Word said so. Why do I have to accept Jesus Christ? Because if I want eternal salvation, I've got to receive Him. Amen? And I've got to bow my knee before the cross of Jesus Christ and then take up my cross and follow Him. That's what He said if you want to be saved. Now He said, be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because He wants you filled with power. He doesn't want you walking in your own strength. I don't know about you, but I remember the day that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everything changed. Salvation, everything changed. Baptism in water, that day, things changed. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, everything changed. All in one year, all in one summer, pretty much. Well, no, within 8-10 months. All three things, and everything started to change in the way that I looked at things. My whole life, everything changed at those times. And some people say, well, I don't know about the Holy Spirit, then that scares me. God terrifies me. The thought of all-powerful, almighty, knowing every one of my thoughts, my entire life, every one of my deeds that I've ever done, and He's the one that either lifts up and draws you in or the one that separates you from His presence forever, that scares me. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? That's right. It's the beginning. And then perfect love casts out all what? All fear. So I'm not afraid of standing before Him, but I know the power that He possesses, that when we stand before Him, there won't be no standing. We will see if we can get under the carpet when we're there. Because the purity, the holiness, everything enveloped in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we're going to stand there knowing what we have done and what He's forgiven us of. And thank God we know that the wrath of God was turned away from us. So God's not angry with you this morning. Make sure you know, if you are in Christ, God is not angry with you. He is not upset with you. The only thing God wants is for you to do what He said. Be filled with the Spirit. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Get water baptized. Be filled with the Spirit. These are things the Scripture says. This is what you need to do. How easy is that?
He didn't say, hey guys, try to figure it out what you're supposed to do. I'll give you a couple of, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. God doesn't play games. He was very clear and articulate in His Word. I'm to love my wife as Christ, what? Loves the church. I'm to train my children in what? The fear and the admonition of the Lord. He didn't leave anything to chance. I'm to love you the way that what? I love myself, right? We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. God didn't leave anything open and say, well, try to figure it out on your own. He said, look, I understand you guys. I created you. I know what's best. This is what I'm telling you.
will bring fulfillment, and you'll stop running around chasing your tails. You will stop looking for things that will never satisfy. You will stop looking at another person and trying to get them to make them fulfill you. No one will, only he does. Amen? And then he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Reason why he wants you filled with the Spirit. See, when we get saved, we accept Jesus Christ. God cleanses us on the inside. Can we all agree on that? Right? The outside, we've still got some issues in our own mind, will, and emotions that we got to bring under submission to the Word of God through the reading of the Word every week. But we get cleansed. And then he says, be filled with the Spirit. Notice he doesn't say be filled with the Spirit and then get saved. Because you're not a holy habitation for the Holy Spirit until you do get saved. Because God cleanses us from the inside. Amen? He purifies us. He sets us apart. He says, now you have become holy. Now walk in holiness the way that I walk. Be holy, he says. Remind yourself every day, I've been sanctified. I've been set apart for the kingdom of God. So he cleanses us through that birth, that rebirth. And now he says, now that you're cleansed, you become a place that the Holy Spirit wants to inhabit. Isn't that good news? The Holy Spirit wants to live in you. Because he said, it's a place that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It has been prepared for me. And now the very Spirit of the living God wants to dwell in you. Man, that's good news. All the power from the very throne room of God now inhabiting you. Because God had to cleanse you and get you prepared first. Right? The cleansing has already taken place. The Spirit of God, now we receive the Holy Spirit. We say, Father, I thank you. I want the gift of your Holy Spirit. That's all it is. He said, receive. Ask and you shall. See how easy that is? And God knew us. Listen, look at all the crazy things we've done. Isn't it amazing? Me and my wife were on a prayer walk the other day. And we're just walking down the road and we're praying. And I'm praying and all of a sudden I had a thought. And I started laughing hysterically while we were praying. And I couldn't stop laughing. And she was like, what are you doing? I said, I just had a thought about the Holy Ghost. She said, what's that? I said, God knew how weak our flesh was. Tell your neighbor, say, your flesh is pathetic. It is, isn't it? It's pathetic. Look at the place your mind goes. One thing goes wrong. One thing goes wrong. Everything goes right for 2 weeks. Woo! One thing goes wrong. I quit. I'm not going to church anymore. It didn't work. God didn't do everything I told him to do. Now, we don't say those things out loud because we would sound foolish. But we think them because we've acted on some of those thoughts. So we were praying, and I'm like, I just got laughing hysterically because I said, the Lord knew our flesh, how weak it was. And he knew that in order for us to walk in the fullness of everything he promised, there's no way we're doing it without all the power from the throne room. Isn't that incredible? He didn't say, hey, just give him a little sprinkle. You know the sprinkles like you put on your ice cream cones? He didn't say, okay, take this little sprinkle, take the Tic Tac, and you'll be good to go. No, he said, every one of them are going to need all the power that I have in eternity through the Holy Ghost who formed the earth because God spoke in order to fill us up to keep us on the straight and narrow. Isn't that incredible? He knew how out of control we were going to be. Wow. And yet he knew every drop that I've got, I'm going to have to pour into them just to get them through. I don't know if he had a lot of faith in us without the Holy Ghost. And yet some people are trying to walk out their lives without the Holy Ghost, without the baptism in it. Think about that. Why is it that now, once you get saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, why is it that when you walk into some place and there's something playing that isn't just right, you don't feel right anymore?
Why is it that maybe it's something that you're eating that the Holy Spirit says, eh? Maybe you're spending money on something and the Holy Spirit is saying, eh? And you get that. Why is that? Putting things in your ears, listening to things that the Holy Spirit says, why? Because you've been cleansed. He goes with you wherever you go, right? Every place you walk in, everything you put before your eyes, he sees. And he's holy, and he's righteous, and he's pure, and he's amazing. And he's like, I don't want to see that stuff. Can we stop looking at that stuff? That only destroys you. The only thing that does is it numbs you. Don't put that stuff in this body anymore. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? And he goes into 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And that word, do you not know, it's a Greek word, oida, and it means, have you not conceived yet? And I think that's how many people walk through their lives. They haven't conceived the transformation that took place. That God cleansed us from the inside out. He made us whole. And then he gave us the Spirit of God. And when we start to look at something, the Holy Spirit says, let's not do that because you've been made whole. Let's not look at that junk that doesn't do anything. Don't put that in your mouth. Don't give your money to that. Don't listen. This is the way I want you to walk. That stuff destroys you. You're a temple of God. You are a kingdom of priests. You have been sanctified, set apart for holy things. This is what he's done with us and in us and what he wants to do through us. And so there's a reason you're getting that nudge. Isn't it amazing how powerful our flesh is? All the power from the throne room trying to nudge us in the right direction, and we fight against it. And we pull ourselves, our flesh, we pull our minds into the wrong direction. And we say, no, these are the thoughts that will consume my mind. The Bible says, think on these things whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report, right? If there's any virtue in any of these things, think on these things. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. You forgave them already. Stop thinking about them. Think about God. Think about what Jesus Christ has done. Think about the power of the Holy Ghost in you. And we say, yeah, but it feels good. My flesh likes to be angry. We know. We understand. But the Holy Spirit is saying, don't go there. That's unrighteous. It's unholy. That's not what you were created for. You've been cleansed. I live here. Please don't subject me to that. This is what he's leading us. This is how he leads us. Have you not conceived yet why you get that in your heart, in your spirit? Why that thing stirs up on the inside? Sometimes it's, hey, turn the television off. Just get in the Word, the Holy Spirit says. What? This is my time right now. And the people just click. They don't even, have you ever done? I've done this. The Holy Spirit's told me, look, you need to get in the Word. Years ago, I remember one time specifically, the Holy Ghost, he was like, come on, let's spend time in the Word, you and me. And I was sitting there. I couldn't find anything to watch, but I wouldn't stop clicking. You ever do that? You never watched any complete program? You just kept going from one, because you couldn't even make up your mind. You knew you were being disobedient, and you didn't care. Yeah, I know. Maybe I can find something that will please me more than reading the Word. Ain't gonna happen. I went through 178 channels and didn't find nothing. Because you don't get what you need when you're walking in disobedience. It's when we surrender to the leading of the Holy Ghost, everything starts to change. When we agree, I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost. This is a gift from my God. He said, my flesh is a little out of control, and I need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. People say, no, I don't want that. No, 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 that's a little too crazy. Suppose I start speaking in tongues or something. I don't look like a wacko. No, but when you were dancing on the bar, swinging things around in the pool hall, that wasn't being a wacko. So it wasn't just me. I feel better in this group. Isn't it amazing when it comes to the world? Look at, paint your face. These guys take their shirts off at 10 degrees, paint their bodies at a football game, and look like complete lunatics for a team that doesn't even go to the Super Bowl. Some of them have never been, and yet they're out there, woo! And they got their guts and they're just, blah, 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 blah. They don't care what they look, and it's on national television. Yeah, hey, honey, that's me. Look at that, baby. But when it comes to walking in the Spirit of God, oh, that's crazy stuff. Oh, that's wacky. Those people that believe in it, I don't want nothing to do with that. What are people going to think of me? Too late. He said, you're a temple, and that word temple was naos, and it means highly decorated. Highly decorated. You are highly decorated. You are the most beautiful looking thing on the planet in God's eyes. You are. When we were in Italy going through some of these, it means like some of those churches that are over there, it took 125 years to build some of them. And they are ornate, gold and silver and statues and all this unbelievable, priceless stuff that's all over there. That's what you look like to God. Priceless. Do you not know? Have you not comprehended how beautiful you are? For every lady in here and every teenage girl, I know it's always one of those things because we've been told, right? I try to remind my wife every day how beautiful she is. I try to remind her all the time so there's never a doubt or a thought in her mind how I see her after 34 years. And it doesn't matter if it's 5:30 when we wake up and her hair is like this. And I'm still, honey, I love you. You are so beautiful to me. And she was like, thanks, honey. I appreciate that. Because I want to remind her what the Word of God says. She is beautiful from the inside out of what God has done. Amen? So I'm not lying. I'm simply speaking the truth over her life so that there's never a thought in her mind. All of you girls, don't look at another human being on this planet. When you look in that mirror, all you say is, look at what God has done. Oh, man. I'm even prettier on the inside. You look at yourself, and the only thought you have is what your father has said. You know how much trouble you girls could eliminate out of your lives if you just agree with me? I'm saying you're beautiful. According to the Word of God, you're lovely, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. No other man's opinion other than God's matters. Doesn't matter if he doesn't say it every day. The issue is that you agree with him every day. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble, young ladies, because you'll be looking for love in all the wrong places if you don't walk after the things of God. So as a picture of what the Lord has done on the inside of each and every one of us, he has cleansed you and he's prepared you to be a habitation of the Holy Spirit, one that is powerful, one that is pure, one that is perfect in every way. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 19 in closing. It says, flee immorality, every other sin that a man commits outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You say, this is what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it, and I'll see you, God, on Judgment Day, and then I'll throw in my get-out-of-hell-free card, and you and me are good. It's not what God's looking for. He's looking for us to do his will when he speaks, as he leads through the Holy Spirit inside of each and every one of us, for the purpose that more come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's about him. We've already received it. Amen? They haven't. They're hurting.
They're walking in fear. They're walking in hopelessness. And then the church is saying, I don't want the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to walk in that. I don't want to be that. That's not me telling people about Jesus. That's for the evangelists. Wrong answer. Because the scripture says, do the work of an evangelist. Amen? That's what he said for each one of us. Tell your neighbor, say, that means you. Right. Do the work of the evangelist. It's easy when we walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's difficult when we do it in the flesh. Because in the flesh, we start to reason, don't we? In the flesh, we start to reason. I don't know that person. Maybe they have a gun. Maybe they have a knife. Maybe they have a husband. Maybe they have a wife. I could keep going if you'd like, but I'd rather not keep rhyming. We have all kinds of goofy thoughts, and the Holy Ghost is saying, just tell them about me. Holy Spirit's nudging you. Just tell them about me. Just ask them how they're going, how their day is. Can you just encourage them? And that flesh says, and pulls against the Spirit of God. I believe that it's time that what God is doing now is preparing for this great end time harvest. And he's looking for those that would just surrender rather than pull against. Rather than pull away from what the Holy Ghost is doing from the inside out, that they would just surrender and step into what God has called us to do. If anybody's offended you, the Bible says you're to do what? Forgive them, right? Look at your neighbor, say, you and me are good. Right? Just asking, because you don't know if the person next to you is good. You don't know what's going on inside of that brain. You don't know. They're sitting there looking at you like, shh. You don't know. Yeah, but we've been married a long time. I know. No, you don't. You faked it before. My wife asked me, honey, you okay? Sure. I lied through my teeth. I repented. Don't judge me. Honey, what's the problem? There's no problem. And just walk away. Our job is to be led by the Spirit of God when he speaks. Now when my wife asked, you okay? No. Why, what's the matter? What you said hurt me. How did I hurt you? I just didn't like it. I'm sorry. Shouldn't there be more than just that? Right? Don't we want more than just an apology? Right? The Holy Spirit says, that's good. She repented, apologized. Now you apologize for your bad attitude. She did it. All right, I apologize for my attitude. All right, you want to go get ice cream? It's over that quickly if we'll do what the Word of God says. Right? How quickly does my attitude change? It took, I bet you it took, well, it's still taken. Because I don't always do it the right way. But I'm getting a lot better at it after 34 years. Because even after 34 years, that flesh wants to scream. Amen? But when we start to surrender, do you not know, didn't you comprehend how beautiful you are? All of the junk God washed away. He made you something beautiful and brand new creature on the face of the planet. And then he wants to fill you with the Spirit of God, all power from on high, so that no matter what, then from then on, when he says, I don't want to go, okay, all right, where do you want to go? Let's go down in the midst of that argument that there's 30 people arguing. What? He did that one time. And then I told you, there's like 50 people fighting down there by the river, and me and Ram were coming back, and I said, we need to go in there and help them. Somebody's going to die. He said, what? I don't know if that's God. We drove in there. You know what? Everywhere we walked in the power of God, and it was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just started spreading out. All the fighting stopped, and they all ran for their houses. And these guys were so tough and so strong that their girlfriends were pulling him into the apartment. No, baby, get in here, get in here. No, I want him, I want to kill him, I'm going to beat him up. As his girlfriend is dragging him back into the house. These are real men. Can I tell you, when you walk in the authority of God, when you're not trying to win, when you're just trying to love, everything starts to change where you walk. It's what God's called us to do. Every situation that we get into, God changes everything. He's prepared you as a temple for him. Do you not comprehend how wonderful and mighty that is? Do you not comprehend the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? And when he says, please don't look at that. Listen, only hear the lovely. Don't listen to them old thoughts from years ago. Don't put your hands to that. Come on. You know that hurt you in the past. Don't run after that stuff. Run after righteousness. All right, let's try that for a change. It'll be a nice change. Just running after right. Don't say that. You know that you can bring death or life and it's in the power of the tongue. Just speak life. Don't say that no more. Wait a minute. You're a temple that's been cleansed and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. I don't want to go there anymore. Can we go over here? It's much better for you. And everything that I promised, I will allow in your life. All my promises are yea and amen. And you'll walk in the freedom of them all. Amen? Stand up this morning. Where's my guitar, Zan? There he is. I'll wait, Chris. Patiently. Now, was that the Holy Ghost telling you to say that, Chris? Or... All right, come on, give me something, would you? All right. Listen, there's supposed to be joy in the house of God, amen? God has brought you out of so much, and he's leading you into much more. That's what he's doing. He's opening doors. Look, maybe somebody owes you money and they're going to come in. You might have to get them saved and give them the money back, all right? I'm just saying, it happens. Maybe somebody has offended you like there's no tomorrow. You're going to have to forgive them and not look for anything in return. It's just that simple. Somebody's going to have to be the one that is courageous enough in love to forgive. Somebody's going to have to lead. You know what followers do? They stay mad a long time. That's what they do. But leaders, they're the ones that take a chance again. How often do we have to take that chance? 7 times 70. What number are we on, Jeff, between you and me? 300-something. We got a few more left between us. 7 times 70, but that's per day. Per day. Yeah. Per day. There's no way out but forgive. You can't add them up. Hang on a second here. You're at your limit, baby. You're at your limit, honey. We're done for today. I'm going to bed before I say anything else. It's 7 times 70 a day just to forgive. That's what the Spirit of God is screaming in you all day long and night. He never lets you go. He'll always walk with you. If you're here today and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray and release everybody because I know people have some place to go. But if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we want to give you an opportunity. I remember the day I walked up. I was petrified. I was afraid to. Why? Because my mind wasn't renewed. Because I gave more value to what man thought than what God promised. And so this morning, we want to give you an opportunity. Not to worry about nothing else. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not nothing. All we're going to do is pray with you and agree with you. And then you receive because you're a temple. You've been cleansed for a purpose to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? So that the power of God is expressed on this planet. You're the ones that are to express all the fullness of Christ on the planet. Every one of us. We have that power through the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. If that's you this morning, though, just close your eyes, bow your heads. If that's you that has never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, just come on up, and I'm going to pray with you after I release everybody. So come on. Don't be bashful. Don't be afraid. Nobody cares about, we don't care about nobody else's opinion. All right? Father, I thank you for each and every one this morning. Lord, that as we walk out of here, Lord, we're going to be led by your Spirit. Father, we're going to watch what we say. When your Holy Spirit says, don't say that. I don't like it when you talk like that anymore. You've been made new. When the Holy Spirit says, don't put it before your eyes. Don't think on that. That's destructive. That hurt you. That hurt you and everybody around you because you didn't stop thinking about it. No, don't put your hands to that. You know you're being cleansed and made whole. Step away. Step away. Father, that we would be those that are so in love with you, being led by the love of your Holy Ghost, that everything we put our hands to would prosper for the cause of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for every man and woman here, every one of these beautiful babies. We pray your blessing upon them. Father, we pray that as they walk outside these four walls today, that someone else's life is changed besides theirs. Father, you've already been working on them. The Holy Spirit is leading them to us. You're leading them to us. And Father, we want to hear and see that person that you want to change. We want to hear at that moment that it's our time, it's our opportunity right now. And then we would have the boldness to step out and say, I want you to know your God loves you. I want you to know a name. I want to tell you about a name. A name that changed everything in my life. Whatever it is, Father, that we would be your sons and daughters, led by your Spirit, humble before you, and obedient in everything that we do. Thank you for the salvation of some today and this week as we prepare, oh God, as we prepare for this coming weekend. Lord, let there be more that would be ushered into the kingdom and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Your blessing upon each and every one, your peace in their homes, oh God, your power in them being distributed to those that are weak, strengthen each one in this room so that we can pour it out all week long to those that are hurting. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.